We know the song now.
Give me the word.
Right? Let's sing.
Make it plain, declare to me, and give me the word. In the light that I now see, and give me the word. It's my total of victory.
My voice.
Smile, don't you know God loves you? Come to think of it.
Come to think of it.
I love you too.
I love you too.
I love you too. You taking your time smiling to someone and before you're true.
Someone will be smiling back.
Smile, don't you know God loves you?
Come to think of it.
Come to think of it.
I love you too.
I love you too.
Sing, I love you too. You're taking your time, you're smiling to someone, and before you're true, someone
will be smiling back at you.
Someone will be smiling back at you.
Someone will be smiling back at you.
Act of Apostles, chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Acts 2, from verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, said, Let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunken, or these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. He said, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maid servant and on my man servant, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we explore all this, hallelujah, as we go ahead in our believers convention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we began yesterday and we said Peter is explaining the event that just took place in verse 14. Something just happened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory. So something just happened. So Peter is explaining that event. And he said, what does happen was spoken of by the prophets. And he read from Joel. Glory to God. He read from Joel. The question we begin to ask ourselves is, who are the prophets? You know, now he's going to explain that experience from the prophets. Hallelujah. From the scriptures. Now the question we ask ourselves is, who are the prophets? How would I know who the prophets are in scriptures? Now, we began answering that question from last year Believers Convention, right? And we said the prophet will be known by what they said concerning Christ. Was that what we said? Yes. Hallelujah. So let's look at that. Luke 24. Back to Luke 24 again. Now, Luke 24 from verse 25. Let's see this. Now, Jesus met two of his disciples, Cleopas, hallelujah, and a friend. Now, on their way to Emmaus, they began to contemplate, talking about, you know, asking, no, they were contemplating about the event that just happened. What event? The event in town was that he's arisen. Jesus is arisen from the dead. Hallelujah. So they began talking about it. Then Jesus showed up in their midst. And he asked, what conversation are you having? And what they replied is, are you a stranger in the land? Hallelujah. What those in the university will call, are you a Jew man? Are you a stranger in the land? So they began to pour their doubts. If you watch, they were just doubting. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to them, oh fools, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that have spoken. 26, he said, of not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He spoke about prophets again. He said he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus is explaining to them that event. He began to teach them from Moses. So we say, when we say from Moses, we're getting there now. When he says when he from Moses, he's referring to what? Genesis to Malachi, right? And we're showing them from Genesis to Malachi the event of the resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So look at what he said in verse 25. He said, all fools are slow to believe in all the prophets have spoken. So Jesus makes us see here that the things which are written were first of all spoken by the prophets. Hallelujah. And what will be the conclusion of what they spoke about? Says it will be concerning to be the message concerning Christ's death and entering into glory. Say, of not the Christ who suffered this and to enter into his glory. John 5:39. Jesus will say, search the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. Meaning you search the scripture, and then you think you have eternal life. He said, but these are they which testify on me. He said, but you would not come to me. Meaning you will not come to the conclusion of scriptures. And what is the conclusion of scriptures? Concerning Christ. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he said the scripture will speak concerning his death. Meaning what they will speak concerning will be his death and his entrance into his glory. That will be the conclusion of all what they said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what this implies is that the prophets, listen, the prophets are primarily teachers of the word. Hallelujah. They are primarily teachers. So they spoke before they wrote. They are primarily teachers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? So he says, beginning at Moses. So when he says beginning at Moses, so it shows you that the prophets will begin from Moses. Now, take this. I'm not saying Moses becomes the first prophet. No. Meaning Moses is the first to write, right? Remember I told you Moses is the beginning of what? Writing, right? In scriptures. Glory to God. But you know, when Moses wrote, he wrote about the prophets also. Abel is one. Hallelujah. Abraham was a prophet. Are you following me? Glory to God. He was a prophet. Is there in scriptures? Glory to God. Amen. Glory. Was a prophet. So, when he says beginning at Moses, he shows you that Moses is the beginning of writing the scriptures. And he calls Moses, and Moses is a prophet. Hallelujah. Moses himself is a prophet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said Moses and all the prophets, meaning up until Malachi. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So before this convention, we've done that study on beginning at Moses, right? Right? That Moses will be the beginning of writing in scriptures. So if we look at Exodus chapter 6, you know, we said the prophets were for or are false teachers. Prophets are what? False teachers. Firstly, they are teachers. They are not false teachers. They are firstly teachers. I remember the time like that in school. I had to tell some of my guys some things. And I remember I met someone and was saying, he's a prophet. And I told him, see, I'm a prophet. In fact, I used to call myself, the prophet of the school. It was a name I gave to myself. I'm the prophet of the land. So when the guy was like, he's a prophet, I laughed. I said, see this school. I'm laughing at it. I'm the prophet of the school. Glory to God. I need to say that enough. So I said, I'm a prophet of this school. I'm not just a prophet, I'm a teacher. I need to say, I'm a teacher. Then I don't really know what I know today. Hallelujah. But I say, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher. I'm not a great preacher, I'm not a fair preacher. I preach all around that. You know, I used to say yes, I'm not prosperity. I don't know what all that is. But you know, I began to discover, hallelujah, that hey, even the prophets are even false teachers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What they said concerning Christ, so they are false teachers. Look at Exodus. I don't know, so open to Exodus, right? Chapter 6, quickly. So, we're having a long journey. Exodus 6. Look at from verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name was I not known to them. But I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. Now look at verse 6. It says, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched hand and with great judgment. I will take you as a people. I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who bring you out of the land or out of the borders of the Egyptians, and I'll bring you into the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as an heritage. I am the Lord. Verse 9. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed to Moses because of anguish of the spirit and cruel bondage. So what did Moses do? Moses' message to the children of Israel was forespoken. Did you see that? He spoke to them. Hallelujah. Then, you know, the writing will come from after he had spoken. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Like the book of Genesis, it was written from what they had as oral tradition of the oracles of God. What he had taught them. So he will write. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So when Jesus says beginning at Moses, it implies that Moses will be the foundation of writing of scriptures. And when he says, and all the prophets. Now, if you discover, Moses is singled out. Moses becomes that foundation of writing of scriptures. When he says, and all the prophets, will imply all the prophets will teach and prophesy for Moses. Remember, we've done this study before, right? When we're talking about prophecy, we say, I mean, Pneumaticus series 1B. Is it 1B or 2B? Or series 2? It's not yet out. Don't worry. It's not yet out. But it's to be out. So we said, when it comes to prophecy, you know, you flow. And we looked at it from where? Moses and all the prophets. So they will prophesy for Moses. There's that flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they will prophesy and they will teach for Moses. Hallelujah. Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. So we can say the background of their prophecy, which is their teaching, will be from Moses. And also their writings will be from Moses. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it implies that what they said and what they wrote will be concerning Christ. Right? The conclusion of what they wrote will be concerning Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So when you say Christ's death, Christ's burial, we are referring to his incarnation and the resurrection. Glory to God. That is the pattern. They will write about his incarnation and his resurrection. Are you following me? Are you following me? That's what they will write about. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at how Paul will put it there. 1 Corinthians 15 immediately. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3. He said, I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the conclusion of the scriptures. I see that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And this is how Peter will now explain it. Peter's pattern. Peter will follow the same pattern. Look at that Act of Apostles. Let's just do a little I don't want to use the word dissection. Hallelujah. Let's just look at something in that Acts 2 quickly. Look at verses 22. Remember, we said the prophet will speak about his incarnation, burial, and resurrection. So, more and Peter will follow the same pattern too. Verses 22, he will speak concerning that incarnation. Say, men of Israel, hear this word, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attests to God. Attest by God to you, by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. And him being, can you see this? That is talking about the incarnation, right? Right? Verse 23, and being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you are taken by lawless hand and crucified. You've crucified and put to death. 24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So look at how it goes. Verses 22, it speaks of that incarnation. 23, his death, the same incarnation, right? 24, he began to speak about the resurrection. Did you see that? This same pattern, his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 1 verse 4, Paul did the same. Romans 1. Let's say verse 4. No. From verses 1 to 4, he said, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated of the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophet and the Holy Scriptures. He said, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Incarnation? Is this incarnation? Hallelujah. So is that the fact of the gospel? Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. What Peter wrote and said he was killed under their lawless hands. Is that part of the gospel too? Is that the fact of the gospel? So meaning the men that killed Jesus is a fact of the gospel also. We get to see that as we look at understanding the gospel and the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. It says verses 3. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ died. Now we say that is the incarnation. Verse 4. Right? And declared the Son of God by the power of God. The Son of God will pass, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Is that the resurrection? Is that the resurrection? Very important. Hallelujah. So what Paul makes us see is that the prophet will speak of his incarnation authenticated by the resurrection. So verses 3 is that incarnation. Right? Then in verse 4, he says, and declare the Son of God. Declare the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So he's telling you that that resurrection, right, is key. And that is what authenticates the incarnation. We said that before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, quickly, that means that the teachings of the prophets, listen to this. They would teach about the resurrection. In the teaching of the prophet, they would teach about the resurrection. Are you following me? They would teach about the resurrection. Now, how would they teach the resurrection? They would teach the resurrection not to be like the climax or the end. Glory to God. Rather, they will teach of the resurrection. Now, they will not teach of the resurrection like this is the end. So, when you just resurrect, bam, everything has finished. No. Hallelujah. So, rather, I told us in... Which teaching is that? Pneumaticus, right? Can you remember the teachings? Okay, yeah. Revelation of God, right. Yeah, that's true. Hallelujah. So, they will rather speak. Let me read what I have in my notes. They will speak of the resurrection not just as an event. So how they will speak of the resurrection will not just be as an event. Rather, they will speak of the resurrection as an event that will bring about several unending resurrections. We'll get to see that from the prophet. Did you see that? They will speak of that event as, which is that event of the resurrection, as an event that will bring about several unending resurrections or events of the resurrection, which will be God's plan for the earth. Hallelujah. So, the resurrection will not just be a one-time event, but rather will be an event that brings about God's will, God's plan in the earth. So, when the prophets will speak about the resurrection, they will not just say, and he resurrected, full stop, let's go home. No. Hallelujah. We'll get to see that soon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the question will now be, how and what do the prophets speak about God or about God's will in the earth? How or what did they say concerning God's will in the earth? How would they speak about it? Glory to God. How would they speak about it? How would Moses write about it? I follow you. How would Moses write about it? In Genesis chapter 1, let's get down Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1. Back to Genesis. Now, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface or the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So, he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, from our studies, we've seen that the heaven doesn't imply where everybody goes to, or where the dead goes to, rather. No. Hallelujah. We've seen that. That all through scripture, the way heaven is used, is used for a place within the earth. God's place in the earth. That is how heaven is used in scriptures. God's place in the earth. So when it says heaven and earth, or when you find the word heaven and earth used together, it is used for God's union with man. God's activity amongst men. Are you following me? God's activity amongst men. So what Moses calls God, or what Moses writes as God's plan, will be his union with man. Hallelujah. God united with man. Not God and man united, you know. Hallelujah. God united with man. Amen. Just don't mind those constructions. Glory to God. Glory to God. Least some devils be happy. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, verse 2 now says, and the earth was without form and void. We said this last week. Right? So when it says the earth was without form and void, it's showing you the earth without the heavens. What God creates is heaven and earth. So verse 2 now says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So it now shows you, hey, the earth without the heaven will be what? Darkness will be void. Tohu bohu. Hallelujah. Empty, useless, void, darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that will not be the work of the Spirit. Are you following that? Because what God creates is heaven and earth. That's God's creation. So, I will say, when you hear the word earth, what comes to mind? I mean, when you hear the word earth used here, earth is used for the activity of man. Man's activity outside God is darkness. Man outside God is darkness. Are you following that? Glory to God. And he says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now that is the Spirit's work. Now when he uses the word waters, he uses the word waters for the nations. Hallelujah. For the nations. You find that in Genesis 2, verses 8. Glory to God. For the nations. Hallelujah. I mean verses 10, sorry. For the nations. So, it speaks about the waters that flow into the Eden, into the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. So, those waters will refer to nations. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, God's plan of heaven and earth will be for all the nations. That is what Moses is writing for you to see. All the nations of the earth. That is God's plan. That is the Spirit's work. All the nations of the earth. Glory to God. All the nations of the earth. So God's heaven and earth will be for all the nations of the earth. He then goes down to chapter 1, verse 26. This is Moses. He now says, let us make man. Now remember, those of you who are around for meeting. Okay, I will say it here. He said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle. Over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created them. Now, look at it. He said, let's make man in our image. That will be man in God's image is God's creation. Hallelujah. So when you hear the word man, Adam or Adam. Remember, I said your mind should not just go to Adam, the father of Cain and Abel. Are you hearing me? Because I said the way Adam is used in scriptures is used in two ways. Right? Adam, you have Adam, father of Cain and Abel. You have Adam, mankind,
which refer to both what? Male and female. Are you following me? So Adam is for mankind, which include male and female. Adam is also used for the father of Cain and Abel. So context will now reveal. That's why you have to read in context to see that this Adam he's talking about here is mankind, not the father of Cain and Abel. So we said, or we saw, and we are still seeing, and yet see, hallelujah, that Genesis 1:26, Adam there will be what? Mankind. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Mankind. Which include what? The male and the female. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, what is he saying? He says, let's make man in our image. So God's creation will be man, or will be that man will be found in God's image, right? That will be God's creation. Man will be found in God's image. Will that be mankind? Mankind. Hallelujah. So what is God's image? Hebrews 1. That word image in the Greek is the word icon. Now, Hebrews 1:3, quickly. It says, okay, I'll start from verse 2. I feel like starting from 1. God, who at various times and his son are in various ways, spoken time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person. Did you see that? And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. So, who is the express image of God? Christ. Hallelujah. You find that also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. You find that there also. Hallelujah. He says, in verse 3, but if our gospel is veiled, he says to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, he says, lift the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who is the image of God? Christ. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They came to tempt Jesus and said, should we give to Caesar? Jesus said, should we pay our tax? Should we pay our tax? And Jesus said, whose image do you have on that meat? Hallelujah. Whose image is there? He said, it's Caesar. Listen, he says it's Caesar. He now said, now, do you remember? They wanted to, they're tempting him because a real Jew should not pay taxes. And if you don't pay taxes, you will be reported to Caesar. Do you know that? So it's just like saying, no, we don't pay. Like some people just jump to conclusion. No! No. We're born of God. And they will now report him to Caesar. Do you know that? When they report him to Caesar, you know, conspiracy. And Jesus knows what they have for us. And he said, whose image is there? Now remember what we said yesterday. That Jesus, how Jesus will interpret things will be different from how men will see them. We saw his wine yesterday, right? When you look at the word wine, Mary came and said, they have no wine. Jesus' interpretation of they have no wine will be that man is without the Spirit of God. You have to see that clearly. Are you following me? You got to see that clearly. Amen. So now he says, hey, whose image do you have there? And he says, Jesus. Say, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and give to God that which belongs to God. Meaning, hey, give to Caesar what belongs to him. What belongs to Caesar? Hallelujah. But when you say give to God that which belongs to God, their mind goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's make man in our image. So, what is that which belongs to God? Your very life. Are you following that? Your very life. And what did they do? They walked away. Scripture explains. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, can we say Adam? Listen, can we say Adam? Father to Cain and Abel was not created in the image of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We get to see that as we look at the revelation of God. You see what completing that teaching is doing? Is it now see? Hey. So that your pastor will hear and say, sir, let's have that teaching. Hey, can you see? Father God, can you hear? Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
So we must have that teaching this weekend. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's go ahead. So we can say that. We can. Hallelujah. In fact, no, we can. We are saying it. Because this is God's plan for the earth. Hallelujah. This is God's plan for the earth. That man should be in his image. And the image of God is Christ. Are you following that? Are you following that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's creation, God's plan, God's heaven and earth will be man found in Christ. Can you see that? God's plan, God's creation, God's heaven and earth will be man found in Christ. Will be the man found in Christ or men found in Christ. This will be the union. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And take note, don't lose this. It will be in all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. It will be in all the nations of the earth. Meaning, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. So, in chapter 1, look at verses 27. How did he make them male and female? So, he shows you that, hey, you will see in Christ male and female. That would be the Adam, mankind. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That would be the Adam, mankind, male and female. So that means you'll find man and woman in Christ. Are you following me? Are you following me? So let's go to chapter 2. We're following me. Genesis chapter 2. So we are looking at how Moses and the prophets will speak concerning what? God's will in the earth, right? Okay. He told us we'll get to see this during believers' conversion, right? When we are discussing following God's plan, right? Walking in God's plan. You saw that. Okay. In chapter 2. He makes you see, Moses makes you see that man was alone. He makes you see man has been alone. Look at verses 18. So Moses beautifully puts it. And now show you the description of man alone. Are you following me? Remember, we say the Bible is not a book of history. It's not a book of history, so don't read history into it. Hallelujah. The Bible is theology. Are you hearing me? The Bible is the study of God. And in the study of God, there's how theology should be studied. And it will be studied where? In Christ, right? That will be Christology. So you have to know Bible is theology. Bible is not history notebook. It's not history book. Ask students. It's not history book. Are you hearing me? It's not history. It contains history, right? But the history it contains is what? Theology. But it's not history. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. So, Moses now makes you see Adam as being alone. Now when you hear, look at verses 18. And the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. Which man? Adam. Is it Cain's father or mankind? Mankind. Are you hearing me? It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper and help me comparable and helper comparable to him. We did this study. That was actually last week or last week. But we're going to look at it. When it is the word helper, that is the word Izar in the Hebrew. Izar. Izar is never used for a woman. Do you hear me? Izar is never used for a woman. In fact, that word Izar in Hebrew is used for a deliverer. One who delivers you. The woman delivers you. Glory to God. Let her deliver herself first. Glory to God. Oh, this is not mockery. You know that. You should know that. Even some guys are afraid of rats. Hallelujah. Some guys, some of your pastors here, if they see rats. Hallelujah. Pastor Philip, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord.
When they see rats, they will run. Now, how can I want to be a deliverer? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
So, some people think, well, hey, I will make him a helper. They say, you know, somebody wanted to, was trying to prove the reason for being married, why he needs to get married. I said, you know, the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. One that's right. It's not good for man to be alone. I saw someone. To me, that thing is a listen. That thing is more of a joke. It's not a preacher. I can never call it a preacher. Hallelujah. Nancy, she said, God made man. How did he even do? For man to be alone. So God made a woman and then he says, he that finds his wife finds his good thing. So in that sense, if you are a bachelor, you are a sinner. And I said it to some of my friends and I called them sinners. In fact, yeah, but there are some people here I cannot send it to. Even if they are single, we know they are not single. A mandate has gone forth concerning us. Hallelujah. He that has vision, let him know. Glory to God. I said nothing and I called nothing.
Amen.
Glory to God. Some people will be going to Kaduna soon.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's come back. Amen. So he said, Isaiah in the Hebrew is the word for a deliverer. One who rescues another. Hallelujah. And all true scriptures from Genesis down to Malachi, in fact, to Revelation, there was never a time Isaiah is used for a woman. It's always used for God. So Moses puts it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses puts it there. And he says, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make and help me. Now, he now uses another word. He says, I'll make a helper. Now say comparable on, comparable for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also him. Now that word comparable to him or meet comparable to him. That is the Hebrew word neged, meaning ahead. Hallelujah. I will make an helper ahead of time. So he now tells you that it's not something that he's doing now. It's what? A promise in the future. Hallelujah. To make you know that it's not a woman. So what did he now do? Moses now went there. Remember, it's figure of speech, right? Moses is writing imagery. So he uses that imagery. Now shows you that the woman will proceed out of the man. To now make you know that, hey, That is that union. Do you understand? That is the union. To show for that the man in Christ, the church will proceed from what? Christ. Are you following that? Are you following that? So he shows you that union. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Moses writes is that what God joins is heaven and earth. God and man. Man. Man in Christ. So in Matthew 19, Jesus will explain it the same way. Matthew 19, quickly. Look at Matthew 19. They came to meet him and they said, is it good for a man to put away his wife? Matthew 19. They are coming to tempt him again. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Verses 3. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying, is it lawful, brother, for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, quickly. So, what did he do? They came to meet him and they read out. Now, what they just did is reading out of context. Jonathan is reading out of context. They came meeting and said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Where they just read it. Jesus took their mind back to where Genesis 1:27. He said, he made them male and female. Listen, he now said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That will be where Genesis 2. Did you see how Jesus is explaining? Hallelujah. And be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. You should know. Husband and wife are never one flesh. You should know that. No matter how joined you are. Are you one flesh? Did you see that? You should just know. Hallelujah. So when you now think is Adam father of Cain, shall a man leave father and mother? Who is Adam's father? Where did he leave from? Aha! You wish to know. Are you following? Hallelujah. Are you following that? Okay. Verse 7. Look at what they now say. He said, and he said to him, then why then did Moses command the certificate of divorce? And to put her away, that will be Deuteronomy. They are now reading Deuteronomy out of context. Jesus is pointing them back to Genesis. Did you see that? And they got, they are in Deuteronomy. They are quoting Deuteronomy out of context. Are you following me? That is out of context. And they are reading Deuteronomy. Jesus said, before the Deuteronomy, there is a Genesis. And after the Genesis is an Exodus. What? After the Exodus, they had Leviticus. Then the Numbers. The Numbers is where? We'll get to see that too. The Numbers is the point of unbelief. 40 years of unbelief. Are you following me? So before you get to Deuteronomy, you must understand that there was an Exodus. And in that Exodus, there was unbelief. So the unbelief was the reason why. You know that? So, but you must understand it in context that there is a Genesis. This is contextual reading. So, meaning you cannot go to the Exodus without reading the Genesis, without seeing the Genesis. You can't jump to Deuteronomy without going through the Numbers. Are you hearing me? You can't jump to the prophets without knowing the Genesis to the Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. In fact, you can't jump to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John without reading Genesis to Malachi. In fact, you can't go to the epistles without knowing the four gospels. And for you to know the four gospels, you must know the background, which is what? Genesis to Malachi. Before you now look at the prophet, you say, ah, let's look at Moses. Even in Moses, when you are about to look at the prophet, you say, Genesis. Are you following me? So, what Jesus is saying is that you must read everything together. Are you following me? So that is why he uses the word for them, have you not read? That is the word anaginosko. It means to read well, to read thorough. Don't be like the lazy student who will be asking for an area of concentration, ALC. Want to write the exam? He says, sir, what is the area of concentration? Oh, those University of Abuja people. What is the area of concentration? They are waiting for an area of concentration. Say, has the lecturer given us what to come as? There's something I see a whole lot in very often school. I never did that. You know, some people will tell you, last year they said this question. So last year, the way the lecturer does it is that some people also do it for jam. That if they, let me look up, is it jam on my head? That if either you have to go back to the last 10 years to know, you understand the question, there are some questions that they repeat every year. There are some parts you must not. Some people are like that. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was praying for WAEC mathematics. I was reading. In fact, the way I read for that mathematics, I was reading to a point that they will call me. I'm serious. So I carried my new general mathematics because we had like 1 week space before maths. So I went through new general mathematics 1, 2, SS 1, SS 2, SS 3. I was, if you know me, you know I read. I don't solve math. I read it. Not a joke. Even in my field, you can't see me with a calculator. It's hard. It's very, very hard. So, because I learned very early that it's not the answers that is the main thing. It's how you build up to the answer, the working. So if you see my maths, you see a whole lot of sentences. Especially, some people just go can, cross multiply. No, how are they? Divide the numerator by. After so, I will write it. So I was prepared. I was reading. No, I actually did collect a whole lot of instructions. I was ready. So around 8 p.m. the night of the exam, somebody now came to my door to knock. They say, Baba Mas, I solved one mass. I don't know. He said, the answer, all the question for tomorrow. You know, those things, look at me, I read it, because you saw me on my table. There's a chair that we have where I will put sticks. Some of you who know me those days, there's this plank I used to have on my leg, and if I want to read, I have it out. They are like, leave all these things, see expo. I look at it, okay. I collected it, I kept it at the last. I must be done. When I was done, I just looked at it. When I looked at it, I didn't have to solve any nonsense. I was looking at it, and I was solving it with my head. I said, no, correct. I went downstairs to meet him. I said, art student is giving commercial students. Does it work? Then this thing is not correct. He said, you're not even science student. I said, this is not correct. This thing that has gone around the whole. I said, it's not correct. Give it to me. Lo and behold, I now got to school. Everybody was carrying. I was not preaching. You know, I was not preaching like Noah. This thing, and then guy go sit down. Somebody told me that your 6 years in school, you want to waste it. I was not looking like the old guy. Well, in my head, I just said, if it is it that come out, my next seat neighbor will be a science student. So I already know the number. I'm thinking, when that time reach, we'll solve. So we have got into the exam hall. When they passed the question paper, I didn't want to even look at it. I just opened it. Is it? I was so happy. So happy. Lo and behold, my science student Nemo, sit partner, came bouncing. He came in late. I'm like, okay. He sat down. He said, okay. He sat down like Pastor. Sada! Sada! When I was not sitting, he now opened his question. The next thing I heard was, fuck man! Shit! This is no click! I'm like, what do you not click? This is no enter, no click. I just knew that I'm a serious person. And I was rejoicing in the Holy Ghost inside. After all my reading, you know, see, if you read very well, for example, you will never be afraid of any me. If you read very well, for example, I guess we're just talking about Christ. Hallelujah. If you read very well for an exam, you will not be afraid of any question that they will set. Hallelujah. Except you never read. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, those people are looking for AOC. Area of concentration. Also, people would like, no, I'll read chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 5. Someone has told me before. See, I read chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 5. You read chapter 2, chapter 3. They just shared it. Don't go holla for dead because listen. Lo and behold, don't tell them what they planned did not work. They scattered everybody. I just dancing. Yeah? See, read everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You read everything. And then, you cannot start reading a book. A book. You have chapter 1. Not your solving, as in book, real book. Hallelujah. Real book. You did not start from chapter 1. You started from chapter 15, went to chapter 1. Now go to chapter 5. Now go to chapter 2. Now go to chapter 20. Now go. You're not serious. You fail. Hallelujah. You must read everything together. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the same way, when it comes to scriptures, you must read everything. That is the word anagnosko. You read everything. Everything. So before you get to Exodus, you must read the Genesis. Are you hearing me? You read everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus would take them back to Genesis. We're in Matthew 19, right? So then I ask, why did he give a certificate of divorce to put her away? Deuteronomy. And Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. What would be the hardness of their heart? Numbers. Unbelief. Numbers. Are you following that? So, Moses, because of that your hardness of heart, he says, suffer you to put away your wives. Are you hearing me? So, what is Jesus showing them? Jesus is telling them. Jesus is telling them that it is a man who divorces, but God doesn't divorce. Are you hearing me? It's a man who divorces. It's a man who divorces. But in God's union, that is, it's a man who puts away. And how do you put away? Unbelief. Right? Unbelief puts away, but it shows you it's man that divorces, not God. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, unbelief is what puts away. God, what God does is that union, what God has joined together. What does God join together, man and woman? No! God doesn't join man and woman. Even if a wedding is done in the church, doesn't mean it's God has joined them. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Because Wedding is societal. Are you following me? Wedding is societal. We're not getting into that today. No,
but you say, you know, this wedding, God saw it. I've never heard people say that. God saw the wedding. It was done in the presence of God. He said, a person that was joining us must be an anointed minister. To show that God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, in Exodus, now moving away from Genesis, in Exodus, Moses will now give them a tabernacle. Listen, Moses will now give them a tabernacle to represent what he is saying to them, that there will be the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. That it will happen. There will be the heaven and the earth. It will happen. So the tabernacle will have the holiest of all, and it will have, it will have the holiest of all and the outer part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It will have the holiest of all and the outer part. So the holiest of all, they believe that is where God is. You see, that is their belief. They believe God dwells in the holiest of all. So Moses gives them the tabernacle to show them this is the holy part or the holiest of all. This is the where the congregation sits. Now, why is that tabernacle? That tabernacle is to show that union, God and man in the same place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's to show that it will happen. It will happen that God and man will be united. The writer of Hebrews makes us see something here. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8. In Hebrews 8, from verse 1, it says, now this is my main, or this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such an high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. You see that? A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Which the Lord erect and not man. He doesn't say, so every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on the earth, he would have been a priest. If he were on the earth, he would not be a priest. See, they are priests who offer gifts according to the law. Now look at verse 5. He says, who serve as the copy and the shadow of the heavenly thing, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the temple. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Look at what he says. He says, see that you make it. Look at that verse 5. He says, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So, when he says that, it means that, look at what he says again. He says, there are what? Shadows. Shadows. Hallelujah. Shadows of heavenly things. Now, when he uses that word shadows, that is the Greek word, leupotegma. Are you following me? That is the Greek word, leupotegma. So it shows that the temple or the tabernacle was a shadow, was an hypotegma. Now when you use the word hypotegma, it implies an event that points to other events. An event.
that points to other events. Meaning that event or that thing is not the real thing, but it points to a greater fact. It points to a greater truth. So it's telling you that the tabernacle is not the real thing. That the tabernacle points to a greater fact. Are you following that? Are you following that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at something in the book of Acts of Apostles, quickly, chapter 7. Let's see Philip. I mean, did I say Philip? Stephen. Look, Acts of Apostles, chapter 7. Verses 48. Acts 7:48. It says, however, I'll start from verse 46. See? Okay, verse 46. Speaking about David. He's speaking about David. He said, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob? For Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet has said. Now he's reading from Isaiah chapter 66. He said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Now he's telling you, see, God does not dwell in temples made with hands. So that shows you that the temple or the tabernacle is not the real thing. But the tabernacle is to point to the real thing. The tabernacle is to show them that, hey, God and man will dwell in the same place. God and man, there will be that union of God with man. So they now build the temple. So the temple will now show where they will see and where they will call, this is where God is. So that temple will house both God and man. That is Moses showing them that there will be that union. And right now, people call it a new potema, an event that will point to a greater fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, what God will show to Moses, when right now people say, do it according to the pattern shown you, what God will show to Moses will not be a tabernacle. No. Will not be bricks. No. What God will show to Moses will be the reality of the resurrection, the reality of God and man, the reality of the union. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is what the tabernacle points to. Glory to God. In fact, just go to the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 9. Quickly, the next chapter, Hebrews 9. And in Hebrews 9, look at verse 6. It says, now these things have been prepared. The priest went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the service. But into the second part, the high priest went only once a year, not without blood, which offered for himself and for the people, and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. It says, verses 8, the Holy Ghost indicating this, that the way up to the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was still standing. Did you see that? So, what the writer of Hebrews is showing you is that, hey, that when that tabernacle was built, there was the witness of the Lord that that is not the real thing. Hallelujah. Are you following that? He said, why that first tabernacle was still standing? That is not the real thing. Hallelujah. But it was a new paradigm to point to the real thing. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. So, what is God's plan? God's plan is to dwell in man. Hallelujah. Look at what it says in verse 9. It says it was symbolic for the present time. Did you see that? It was what? Symbolic for the present time. In which both gifts and sacrifice are offered, which cannot make him who performed the services perfect in regards to the conscience. Are you following that? So, it was symbolic. Glory to God. So it shows you that God's plan is to dwell in man. That's God's plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's plan is to dwell in man.
This is God's plan for the earth. Hallelujah. All the earth. Hallelujah. This will be God's glory. Are you following me? This will be what? God's glory. That word glory in Hebrew is the word kabod. In the Greek is the word doxa. It's used for one's possession, one's work, what one has accomplished. So what will be God's work? What will be God's possession? Man and God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this will be God's glory that will cover the earth. Numbers chapter 14 verse 21. Numbers 14, 21. He says, but truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. What is God's glory? God's glory is heaven and earth. Right? His glory is his work, is his accomplishment. What has he accomplished? Heaven and earth. Are you following me? Glory to God. And he says it will be all the earth. All the earth will be filled with his glory. All the earth will be filled with his glory. His work, the indwelling. Hallelujah. In verse 18, let's go back to verse 18. Let's see what he calls that glory again. Hallelujah. Let's see what he calls that glory. So when Habakkuk comes and says, oh, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of his glory as the waters cover the sea. Where is he teaching from? Numbers 14. Can you see? When David in Psalm 72 verse 19 says it will be his glory in all the earth, where would David be teaching from? Moses. Can you now see? They will teach from Moses. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Let's see what he says about that. Numbers 14 verse 18. It says, the Lord is long suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means, but he by no means cleansed the guilt, visiting the iniquities of the father on the children of the third fourth, to the third and fourth generation will see that word, right? Visiting the iniquities. When he talks about the word visiting the iniquities, when that word visiting is used, it's used for forgiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not that God is always remembering people's sin. No. It's used for forgiveness. In fact, look at what verse 19 says. It says, pardon the iniquity of the people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt up until now. Then the Lord says, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So what Moses is saying, he calls that glory, God's mercy, the pardon of the Lord. Are you following me? He calls it, I want you to see that clearly. Hallelujah. Let's look at something. What I have in my notes, Numbers, the background, what will be the background of Numbers? The background of Numbers will be their experience in the wilderness. The background, what you have as the background of Numbers will be their experience in the wilderness. What will be that experience? What will be that experience? Paul will call it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I will just speak out some verses for you to see. But you go read everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verses 5. It says, but with most of them God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now this thing becomes examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they have also lost them. Are you following me? Verses 9. It says, nor let us tempt the Lord, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed by the serpent. following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then he said, no complaint, and some of them also complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all this happened to them as examples. And they were written for admonition upon when the ends of the age have come. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Paul calls that numbers experience. He says they walk in the flesh. Are you following me? Paul calls it a walk in the flesh. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, will call that numbers experience. He will call it that they walked in unbelief. Are you following me? He will call it that they walked in unbelief. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he will call that numbers experience. He will call it unbelief. You guys, Hebrews chapter 3, verses